This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I waited a very long time to say this, but it's Friday.
Yes.
You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And today on the show, we're asking you, what has been the biggest obstacle with working from home? Get in touch with us on Twitter. We've got a poll running, or Instagram. You can, you know, fill up the form, or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We're giving you some options on Twitter, like, you know, accessibility, career development, environment, culture, or even just motivation. Get in touch with us and let us know. We've got an expert, we've got an entrepreneur on the line as well later on, who's, you know, been doing working from home for a number of years now, and, you know, he will explain why this time it's a very different type of working from home experience, and we'll get into that in just a bit. And then also we will be talking about eating out, something that, you know, I guess, you know, some Malaysians have gone out and done it. I was just scrolling my phone just a few minutes before we were going on air, and a couple of my friends are having banana leaf, and I was like,
that's nice.
You know, going out to eat banana leaf. But of course, circumstances are very different, right? So we'll talk about eating out with your phone.
Yes, and how you might not be able to leave home without it.
And wrapping up our Biz Bytes show for today, we will give you some, I guess, insights into Frida's webinar session yesterday that we were, you know, talking about, Show Me the Money. Mm-hmm. You know, especially because it's probably going to be a long weekend for many of you. And, you know, webinars are a great way where you can upskill and reskill yourself very quickly and learn some new insights. And there were some really interesting takeaways from yesterday's webinar session.
I went on to do some research after that. And all I'm saying is fruit flies.
Oh, fruit flies.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. So remember, get in touch with us. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio. Now, working from home has been great for most of us. Despite the, I guess, initial challenges that we've all had, it's been pretty much welcomed by many. Most companies have also announced that they're now allowing their workforce to continue to work from home until the year end. We know some Malaysian companies have also decided to take on, you know, that mantle. So, you know, what's been the benefit for you when you've been working from home? Is it like saving money? I definitely have seen an increase in my bank balance at the end of every month, because I think, you know, I travel less.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't pay as much toll. I don't pay as much parking. I don't pay as much, you know, even just food, buying out food, right? So, and with that, I actually have better food when I'm at home, simply because then you're either cooking at home, and cooking at home is always more healthier than, you know, buying food from the outside. There's also that mental aspect of less travel time. It takes me about an hour or an hour and a half to get into work.
Normally.
Of
pre-MCO.
And then it's a toss of the coin coming back, you know, going home. It's really, it depends on a million different factors, you know, from the weather to the, you know, attitude of the drivers. And, you know, it's just a toss of the coin. And for some, they actually would say it's also getting more work done when you're at home, especially in the initial stages, right? Audrey, on your side, have you seen any, like, you know, direct impact on the benefits of working from home? Like, what have you enjoyed the most?
I think just home? You know, having the opportunity to spend more time with a growing child, you know, just to be able to see that and also get work done. Yeah. Flexibility, I think, is something that I truly cherish about working from home. Just, you know, being able to, like, to do both things at once, you know, allows us to kind of multitask. The other thing is, you know, I don't have to stress about what I'm going to wear to work every day. So people talk about, you know, making these choices, right? Where to park, you know, getting caught commuting. And I live close by to the workplace. But for me, like that stress of what am I going to wear to work? And I don't have to deal with that when I'm working from home.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Small things.
Any big wins?
For me, it's definitely the Zoom meetings, right? Of course, there is savings. But, you know, I make up for it by doing more online shopping.
saving though. Because you're thinking, okay, I'm saving and all that. But I think like, you know, how you don't have a social life. And so that's been curbed. But I used that time then to do other things, right? Which was to write and all that. So that was good, which, you know, I don't have to think. I'm not going anywhere, you know, so I get down to work.
Yeah.
One more thing is I feel like I get to work according to the working hours that suit me better. So I'm the kind, like, I get up and I'm freshest at that point and I want to get work out of the way as early as that. So sometimes I'm working from like 7:30 all the way till like noon. And then after that, my work is done and I get to move away and then just be on standby, right? So it allows me to do that. And I know for some people, they prefer working later in the day or they like to work later at night. Mm. So it allows them to do that as well.
Mm. Now, I don't want to be the party pooper here, but working from home actually has a lot of dark sides that we sometimes are blindsided by the, you know, this immediate positive impact that it brings, right? There's things like, you know, maybe for some, there's the lack of internet access. The good internet connection is very important. Everyone's always on standby. Even at 9 p.m. sometimes you're expected to stand by. Work never really seems to end. And there's interruption all the time. These are the challenges that we've spoken about before or on many times. Now, the public reaction, you know, towards working from home has actually been really strange because people have been asking for this work from home trend forever. But now that most of us have tried it for at least more than a month, the idealized dream of working from home is looking a lot less like the object of our own desire. The reality is that we've woken up from the fantasy of being able to do anything, anytime, anywhere. But we're also realizing that the office had some pretty amazing perks, and the work from home trend comes with a whole host of hidden costs and there's hidden challenges. And at the same time, now that we've had a taste of the new possibilities of flexible work, most of us want the power to choose where and how we work, which, to be honest, we don't really have at this point of time, because working from home for most people, it's like a, you know, it's not an option, it's a choice that you have been given, and you can't change that. You can't decide, like, you know what, I'm not going to work from home, I'm actually going to do work elsewhere, and you're not allowed to do that. And that is, I guess, why working from home. Now, there's a really good commentary piece on Channel News Asia's website, and it's done by Forrest Wolves, Crystal Lim Lange, and Gregor Lim Lange, on do you really want to work from home forever, like some Twitter employees can. And they noted out some really interesting factors into why the workplace is actually, you know, pretty good when it comes to working. And, you know, the first one is, you know, the workplace can actually be good for mental health and collaboration. There's a lot of research that's shown being able to go into an office may actually be good for our mental health and well-being, because we are social creatures, and being around others, whether it's collaborating, whether it's sharing a meal, or simply having that water cooler chat, or, you know, photocopier chat that, you know, most of us probably would do, it provides a sense of belonging and connecting and being understood, and directly buffers against the stresses of work and life. And having a dedicated workplace also allows for a clearer boundaries between workspace and home space, and it can actually help individuals to manage their workloads better and to prevent burnout, which I feel the work from home trend, if it continues, I get a lot more work done during work from home, but I don't know how long I could do this, right? Because I feel burnout every end of the week.
And this is us being able to come back to the office every other week.
I look forward to in some aspect of just coming into the office, because I feel like, wow, at least I have that break.
Yeah. Coming to work, it's a break.
The other thing is also that workplaces are actually very good for attracting and developing talent. Now, the best workplaces, they play a crucial role in attracting and retaining the talent. So, you know, imagine when you walk into an office, a thoughtful office, and you get to see things like the culture itself. Mm. You get to see, like, you know, what kind of vision does the company have? It's simple things like maybe, you know, the giant electronic displays that they have, or maybe the stunning views over the cities, how they do out the layouts of the cubicles, of the space they've got, even like maybe intimate discussion areas that are scattered around everywhere. You immediately get the sense of belonging, or the sense of like, oh, this is where, like, you know, you can have like ideas, you know, get together, discussion areas to solve problems in this very innovative way. And aspiring organizations, they also celebrate learning by having, like, you know, a multifunctional spaces for developing talent. It's vital when constant reskilling and training is now like the new norm. And we know that people learn the best when they learn together.
Yeah.
And that's one area I feel that working from home really doesn't provide. It's that career growth aspect when you're working from home. And I miss that. I really do miss having like the full team. And when we have this idea, I can bounce back and forth. Zoom isn't just the same for me. Having like, guys, let's go on a Zoom call. You know, it's always just been like, all right, can you hear me? Can you see me? And, you know, you're on mute. You know, it's all these kind of discussions that just interrupt that flow.
It doesn't allow that free-flowing growth on ideas concept, yeah.
Anyways, you know, get in touch with us. Let us know what do you think has been the biggest obstacle when working from home, accessibility, career development, environment, culture, or motivation. It's on Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We'll speak to an entrepreneur that has been, you know, doing working from home, and he'll explain why this is very different this time around in just a moment. Stick around. BFM 89.9.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And today on the show, we're asking you what has been the biggest obstacle with working from home. Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. What's the poll looking like on Twitter?
It's a mixed bag of results. So we're looking at 22% who say accessibility, 14% say career development is the biggest obstacle, about 30% say the environment or culture, with 34% saying motivation. So, that's... you know, it's not like we've got a big difference, a winner by a stretch or anything like that. They're all kind of like about the same or so.
Over on Instagram, we've got a couple of responses. Focus is one of them. Terrible Wi-Fi connection, that's accessibility, and also maintaining boundaries between work and home life. That's also a challenge. But interesting that motivation seems to dominate the Twitter poll at the moment, because even in the article, you know, perhaps talking about the underlying motivation for work from home is perhaps to look at this in a way where you ask yourself, why is work from home important to you? Do you want to work from home because you are attracted to the advantages? For instance, because you are more productive when you have control over your hours? Or do you find your home office more suitable for your type of work? Or do you want to work from home because you want to get away from someone or avoid something at the office, like annoying colleagues or critical bosses, or giving presentations? So the ultimate avoidance is choosing to work from home because you don't quite feel engaged in your role yet, and you haven't got the courage to change jobs or take steps to fix the underlying issues. I feel that, for me, really kind of peels away why people feel like more motivated to, you know, work from home or from the office. When you tend to feel, this is much better, but when you peel out, you know, the reasonings, you actually realize it comes down to, you know, that too. You got to ask yourself, why do you feel better? Is it because it's more productive for your type of work, or you're not addressing something that, you know, has been the disturbance in the office as well, right? So I got in touch with Vix Kanagasingam. He's the CEO of Experanti. And, you know, just a few days ago, I did a show with him for my Extraordinary Endeavor episode. And he was one of the mentors. And he was talking about communication. And, you know, towards the end of our conversation, I spoke to him and said, like, you know, Vix, it's very interesting in the sense that, you know, you're an entrepreneur, been around for many years, doing many different startups. And you say to me that working from home for you in this period of time is very different. And I thought, like, you know, let's have a chat. So Vix, you know, how is this work from home trend different from the ones, you know, before the pandemic?
Yep. I mean, before the pandemic, work from home, you are able to have a work-life balance, right? You have the ability to still meet clients, partners, face-to-face, ability to visit sites, location for discovery, evaluation. You also have a balanced lifestyle, exercise, outdoor activities, and some face-to-face socializing. During the pandemic, it created a unique work-from-home environment, never before experienced by anyone, an impact across the nation, globally. At the same time, fear of uncertainty. So there is no more work-life balance. It is now about work-life integration, ability to integrate work and life, which is family and health, and requires, this is very important, it requires strong self-discipline and self-motivation. At the same time, ability to socialize effectively using online digital tools. So if you look at it, we now need to embrace and end up this new work from home. I call it work from home 2.0, work-life integration. And unfortunately, Jeff, it's not for everyone, right? The need for high EQ, emotional intelligence will become more important, critical to adapt to the work from home 2.0 work-life integration.
Mm. A really good point there. Vix, how do leaders ensure good work from home policies for their employees?
Okay, for me, there are like five key steps or actions they need to do. Okay. First, it's important to respect and acknowledge that the policies and rules of working in the office and working from home will be different. Therefore, do not try to impose a single policy or rule across office and home. That's first. Second, establish those who are willing and can work from home. Do not impose, because therefore they are accountable for their decisions. All right. Third, establish KPIs with clear outlines, outcomes you are expecting. Define an agile KPIs. When I mean agile, we should be able to improve and change, jointly review periodically to improve, you know, define the KPIs to establish the right KPIs so that the employee feels they are part of the journey of coming up with the right KPI for them over a period of time and will be unique to each person. The fourth, there's a need for rotation, cycle 1 week at home, 1 week at the office. This is to ensure strong teamwork culture and ensure they feel recognized. Because as your leader, you need to evaluate their performance between working from home and office. So that's very important, you rotate them, home and office, right? And also because of giving them some level of recognition face-to-face. Fifth, which is the most important of all, you as a leader need to evolve. Okay, you need to be agile, strong coaching leadership style, ability to remotely engage and guide the workforce that's working from home. A lot of leaders have never managed a team that's working remotely. Okay, as an agile leader, you must also have the ability to work from home. That means you have to show how to work from home and deliver the results. Okay, so this pandemic actually showcased the need for a new breed of leadership, which is agile, decisive, and coaching style leadership. Leaders with the ability to lead a team remotely and keeping them inspired.
Mm. Vix, what is your take on the good and bad that it brings and also the long-term implication? Is there a balance to be found with working from home and working from office that each organization needs to decide for the time being?
Okay, I like to look at it. Let's look at long-term, mid-term and short-term. Okay, I will start with the long-term. For organizations, need to remember in the long-term, work from home 2.0 will create a new type of workforce, a breed, or generation. The ability to provide their service to multiple organizations. This new workforce will not have a single job or employer. They will be providing their services across multiple employers. It'll be a new type of career. I call it career as a service. So this new breed of guys that come in the next 5 years, or tech savvy, they will be working as career as a service. They'll be working for multiple employers. So the employers need to remember that you are going to engage with people based on what they can deliver for you. So that's in the long term. They need to be prepared. In the midterm, next 1 to 2 years, for those who are able to master the work from home 2.0 culture, method, work-life integration, will be able to have a few side hustles. And I said extra income and pursue their passion. So employers and organizations will realize that because these guys will be able to balance it so well, they'll do some side hustles, which is already happening, you know, where they start pursuing some of their passion, learning music, teaching music, you know, doing stuff as their passion. In the immediate short term, it's tough to find a balance. To be honest, it's very tough to find a balance. Therefore, it's important the employers, especially the leaders, they must have an open mindset. They need to engage with employees with a partnership collaboration, a collaborative partnership mindset with the employee. Establish who wants and willing to work from home. Establish KPIs with clear outcomes. Define agile KPIs as mentioned earlier. Agile means we should be able to improve or change over a period of time. So these are the things I call it long-term, mid-term, and immediate short-term. The companies need to balance it. They cannot just start saying, okay, everyone's going to work from home. All right, and it needs to be very collaborative engagement with the employees because they also are uncertain. If I work from home, how am I going to live? Right, I've never done this before, so it needs to be balanced very well in the short term.
Vix, one last one. You know, many have not realized the long-term implications on career growth with the work from home trend, right? What's your take on career progression and development, the implications for the long term if this continues?
Okay. So I look at it, Jeff, in my organization, the last few startups have done and built, I create an organization, there's a primary role and a secondary role. So the reason why is to help develop career growth. So example, if you come in as an engineer to do software development, so that's your primary role. Now, I will also create secondary roles for them. Example, maybe doing pre-sales support, maybe some documentation. So I want to see their skill sets as they go over a period of time. Then you realize they are very strong in certain secondary roles. So you balance the primary and secondary. So 80% his job is to do software development, 20% is support sales, do documentation. It is like, I go back to football, Jeff, all right? I'm a Liverpool fan, okay? So if you look at the strikers, their primary role is to score, right? Their secondary role is first line of defense. The midfielders, their primary role is to support the sales guys, support the strikers, and the secondary role is second line of defense. And then you've got defenders. The primary role is to defend, all right, and to support the midfielders. And then, so everyone has a primary and a secondary role. That's how you build a team. And over a period of time, you can see the players improving, and then they fit into a certain role. So they can grow based on the secondary role. Example, after a while, some of my employees say, Vix, I'm just a software developer. The secondary roles, I will do a little bit. I will just stick to it because they feel they want to be in the technical ladder. They don't want to go into the management ladder. Then there are some engineers who over a period of time show leadership, right? They come out, they lead a team on small projects as part of the secondary role. And then they will start to follow the path of their career growth. So that's as leaders, we have to guide them. So I've defined the organization on primary and secondary in a very matrix organization. So there's also primary supervisor and a secondary supervisor. They don't only report to one person, they report to 2%. The primary supervisor is who their supervisor for the division. Secondary is a supervisor that is their division they're supporting in the secondary role. So therefore, over a period of time, they start to see their own. I do this because I want them to develop their career growth on their own accord with the leaders and employees guiding them.
That's Vix Kanagasigub, the CEO of Esperanti and also a very big Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
So that's why he makes a lot of sense.
Love the football analogy.
Yeah, just about to say that. But you know, one thing that really struck out for me is like, maybe we haven't really realized it, but this is not normal work from home conditions. Yeah. This is working from home during COVID when you've got your kids at home, when you've got your spouse at home, and you've got everyone else at home as well, your clients, your customers. So it's not really the usual work from home experience.
Yeah. Get in touch with us. Let us know what has been the biggest obstacle when working from home. Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. I ended that conversation with Vix by saying that this is why Roberto Firmino is the best all-round striker in the Premier League at the moment, and he agreed with me. So
secondary role support and everything.
Get in touch with us. We'll discuss this at more. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.